as good as it sounds, you know, campaign wise, it is a truth in the matter that I was raised in House District 34, having gone to elementary, junior high and senior high school in House District 34. But I'm a husband, a grateful husband of Kimberly King Davis, the father of three girls, Delaney, Sarah, and Ella. And I'm the associate pastor of Bullock Temple CME Church, right at the corner of 16th and Park, across from Central High School, and the director of UA Little Rock Children International. This is the first time in a decade that there's been a contested house race in District 34. And of course, a decade ago, the district looked different. It was pretty severely gerrymandered after the 2010 census, when, again, 2010 was the last time there was a contested election. So this is really kind of brand new territory for the district in general. What I have to say to that, though, is this, that the fate of the western parts of the district and the eastern part of the district can quite easily rise and fall with that of the opposite side. I've heard in every neighborhood association meeting I've gone to, from Wright Avenue to the Love neighborhood to Broadmoor to University West to Oak Park, that people want a grocery store. And I think about the fact that we have about, you know, 3,000 square feet of space right at the Walgreens that just closed. And so, you know, to that end, you know, I've been kind of in a long range of discussion with the Aldi's company about the possibility of them, you know, if they might be interested in using that space. And so, you know, for me, it really is about using whatever influence or legislative levers that are available to bring resources to all parts of District 34.
What do you believe are some of the other challenges of the district, but also what are some of its greatest strengths as you see it?
I'm listening to folks talk, and there are a lot of aspirations, and I think our aspirations are our greatest strengths. And people have talked very extensively about the opportunity zones in the city, and I'm glad that the mayor and the administrators in the city are really thinking about ways to use the opportunity zones to create opportunities for communities and not individuals. But as it stands, an opportunity zone at this point means that if you have the money, you have the means, you can buy a piece of property, you can do some improvements, and improvement means whatever I suppose you want it to mean. And you basically have a tax shelter for almost a decade. And it doesn't mean that you have to be of any benefit to the surrounding community. You know, there was this big push for development in the 12th Street corridor, and all we got was the gigantic police fortress that, you know, you got to have a special code to even get inside of. But what can we do inside of state government to incentivize opportunity zone spaces that are actually of benefit to the community? I know these are federal funds, but the state, the governor specifically, designates that opportunity zone. And so what can we as legislators do to incentivize using those spaces to benefit the community? You know, be that block grants or other in-state tax incentives, or, you know, whatever the case may be.
How do you accomplish goals like that, or just any goals that you have in a legislature in the Capitol that's predominantly Republican?
I am looking forward to the election of Amy Johnson in West Little Rock. She's running a campaign against Jim Servillo. Looking forward to the election of Matthew Stallings in North Little Rock, who's running as a Democrat against Republican Carlton Wing. You know, Carlton Wing, who voted to, you know, basically change the nature of the minimum wage increase, even though 70% of the people in this district voted for the minimum wage increase. And if and when they're elected, you know, that means that the Democrats will have broken the Republican supermajority in the state house. And so that means that there has to be a level of compromise that has not existed for about a decade in the state legislature. I personally believe that budgets are moral documents. Budgets are a direct reflection of the things that we say that we value. And what I value is people. You know, I value children. And we can't, as a state, say that we value children, because even though we had, you know, kind of wide expansion of medical care for children under the Our Kids, we've been slipping over the past few years, and we've seen a decrease in the coverage of children. We're still number one for children who have adverse childhood experiences, children who've experienced, you know, violence in their homes, for instance. We are still in the top five states for childhood hunger or food insecurity, still in top five for elderly food insecurity. And so I think that you know, we have to be challenged to really be true to what we say we value as a state. But we have to work together. Now, I'm not so foolish as to believe. Now, personally, I'm against the death penalty 100% and think we should abolish it, you know, day one. I'm not so foolish as to believe that I can walk into the state legislature, lay it on a table and get it signed and without, you know, any type of discussion. But there is a path toward a moratorium on the death penalty. There is a path toward, speaking of moratoriums, a moratorium on charter school expansions. Because, you know, a lot of the folks in these towns, you know, and I have roots in rural Arkansas, you know, we value our local school districts. And folks have to understand that if a politically appointed board can overstep and circumscribe a duly elected school board in the Little Rock School District, it certainly can happen anywhere else in the state. And so I think, you know, there's room for compromise everywhere. And I think we should not assume that everybody in the state, at least I don't anyway, and perhaps it's just an unordained opinion, that everybody in the state legislature is so radically Republican that they would just reject anything, you know, that comes down the pipeline for them. So.
And then finally, how do you feel your skills and your background and experiences qualify you to represent District 34?
You know, I've worked for a decade doing legislative advocacy for particular groups that I'm connected to. I don't know that they necessarily radicalized me, but, you know, the Citizens First Congress through the Arkansas Public Policy Panel was a group that I joined with about 12 years ago and, you know, really learned about the legislative process. And so since the legislative session of 2007, I've been a presence at the state capitol, you know, talking to legislators, speaking in committees, sitting in the gallery, taking notes for other groups. And, you know, I think that I am uniquely qualified in that stead to go into the legislature on day one and be prepared to meet the challenges. Also prepared to represent District 34 because, you know, as I said, I'm a son of District 34. And I've lived in District 34 and continue to live in District 34, grew up in and am indebted to the people of District 34 and have been connected to the issues in District 34 for so much of my life.